Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
You're off on holiday, and I'll not be back for 2 weeks, 14th of April. Well, I trust the Lord will take care of you all, bless you and keep you, and that you'll have a good time. Well, now we're turning to Acts chapter 5, and we're continuing our study of the sad story of Ananias and Sapphira. They did wrong, there's no doubt about that, but I believe they were Christians, and yet the Lord struck them very hard, and of course there's a reason for that. Everything that the Lord does is proper, righteous, and just, and his treatment of Ananias and Sapphira was entirely that, and we need to learn that. So as we turn to Acts chapter 5, and the first 11 verses of this chapter deal with Ananias and Sapphira, we're going to notice that sin, defiance, and disobedience of God, and any attempt to deceive him, will be met by a stroke from his hand, with some that will be much more serious than others. And I have one more study in this portion, which I'll take up with you when I get back here in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, I want you to notice how it is illustrated here in this story that sinning against the Holy Ghost is a very serious matter, and it cannot take place without dreadful consequences. In a number of places in the New Testament, we're warned about this. Christians are warned about this. And that's because, as Christians, we have special relationships with the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. He is our guide and counselor, and he's ever with us. And therefore, when he seeks to lead us or guide us, we must not strive against him. He takes the place of Christ, since the Savior is in heaven, but he's been sent as another comforter to ever be with us, and we must not strive against him. And that is taught to us here in the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Sinning against the Holy Ghost is a most serious matter. Listen to what the Savior said, and I'm reading from Mark chapter 3 and the verse 29, a solemn word. He that shall blaspheme, speak evilly, speak sinfully, against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Why is that? Why should blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, result in no forgiveness? Very simply, because he is the one who promotes in us repentance and faith. So if we push him away, there will be no repentance. There will be no seeking of God for forgiveness. And that being the case, we'll be lost forever. If you're ill, and there's only one doctor has the answer to your sickness, but you refuse to listen to him, then you're going to die of your sickness, for there's no one else can help you. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. He alone can work within us that which we need in order to be saved. Repentance, confession of our sins, and faith in the Lord Jesus. That's why the Savior warns against blaspheming, speaking evilly or sinfully against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's equal with the Father and the Son. He's the third person of the divine Trinity. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, which I hope you older ones will take the time to read at some time and study, it is the summary, the best summary, I believe, that man has ever written down of the teaching of the Bible. And in the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 2, it speaks of the Holy Ghost in this fashion. In the unity of the Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So if you would never think of sinning against God the Father, or sinning against the Lord Jesus, God the Son,
you should equally dread sinning against God the Holy Ghost. Now, what Ananias and Sapphira did was to lie to the Holy Ghost. Peter in verse 3 says, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And they lied for the basest of reason. They lied because of pride. It was a time in which disciples, the new disciples, those born again but days before, on the day of Pentecost, plus those who already were saved and who had gathered for that special time of prayer in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and their heart was overflowing with love and joy and peace and a concern for others. And we read that they were selling their properties in order to share their wealth with those who didn't have much. This was a fulfilling of that commandment God has given to us all. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So what you delight in, what you enjoy, what you would want, make sure your neighbor gets the same. That's what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that was taking place following the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the people at Pentecost. But Ananias and Sapphira wanted to appear as generous as everybody else, but didn't want to share in the same way. They sold a piece of land, but they kept back part of the price. And they gave a portion to the apostles to distribute to others, pretending that what they gave to the apostles was the whole price they got for the land. That was the deception. Saying to the Lord, here's everything I got, Lord. And in actual fact, they were keeping part of the price. Pride was at work. They wanted to appear just as generous as everybody else, while they weren't being as generous as everybody else. They kept back part of the price, it says in verse 2. If you just go back to chapter 4, to the last verses, verse 34 onward, you'll see the Spirit that was at work among the people. Look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is what was happening. Great generosity. But Ananias and Sapphira wanted to bluff God, and that brought very severe punishment upon them. They wanted to appear as generous as others, while in actual fact there was greed at work in their hearts. They kept back part of the money, but not wanting to let on that that was the case. And they thought they could tell God a lie, and that God wouldn't know. God knows every thought. Every thought. There's nothing secret from God. And we ought to live in the light of that. And had Ananias
and Sapphira
said to themselves, well, we want to hold back part of this money, but we can't deceive God. God knows our heart. Had they thought that and acted accordingly, then they wouldn't have been smitten down dead. I want you to notice, too, who played a major part in this sin. Oh, yes, Ananias and Sapphira. But there was another person at work. Did you see that? Listen to Peter's words. Look, please, at verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? Devil was at work.
And even as I read these verses to you, thoughts arise in my heart. Peter says, why hath Satan filled thine heart? It wasn't just that the devil came to Ananias and Sapphira, as it were, knocking at the door and trying to get in, but he filled their heart. They let the devil's temptation, the devil's thinking, the devil's wickedness and sin get into their heart and fill their heart, so that they were acting at that moment like the devil. Their heart was filled with the devil's lies, and that being the case, they were acting just like the devil. They were acting just like the devil. And they lied to the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to lie to the Holy Ghost. You know something, boys and girls, I want to tell you something. You can lie to God without ever saying a word. In my years of preaching, as I have looked down on congregations, I have seen those who were lying to God in the congregation. It wasn't that they were saying anything, but they were sitting up as if they were listening to every word I was saying. But it was a bluff. They weren't listening. They had the face on, as if they were listening, but they weren't listening. Their thoughts were here and yonder and everywhere, and they weren't thinking at all of what it was I was saying, and they were lying to the Holy Ghost by putting on the appearance of listening to God's word. Now you can do the same. You can sit here in the assembly, behave yourselves as the teacher requires you to behave, and look as if you're listening, but you're not. You're lying to me by pretending you're listening, and you're lying to God. And that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing, boys and girls. You know, the devil is ever at work. The presence of the devil is ever to be found wherever he thinks he has an opportunity of hindering the work of God. And he, or one of his compatriots, will attend every assembly here in the school. That's, as far as he is concerned, too good an opportunity to miss. Here are boys and girls being taught the Bible. He must intervene and try and stop that, and try and turn your mind from listening to the word of God. He's ever at work. I think that we have a full record of his abilities. Never underestimate the devil. We have a full account of just how good he is at doing wrong, by the way he deceived Judas. There's nobody saw more clearly who the Lord Jesus was, or had demonstrated to them who the Lord Jesus was, than Judas. He was part of the 12 apostles who would have seen virtually every miracle that the Lord Jesus wrought. I was reading this morning the last chapter of John's Gospel before I came down here, and John closes his Gospel with these words. The last two verses of John's Gospel read, now listen to them. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. What the Savior said was true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. John is saying the Lord Jesus did so many wonderful works by speaking and by working miracles, that if every one of them were written down, the world wouldn't hold all the books that would be required to record all he did. And Judas was a witness to all of these things, or at least to 99% of them. Maybe he was absent a day or so, but he saw so much of what the Lord did, and yet he betrayed the Lord. He was among those who heard the voice of the Father speaking from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. What a privilege that was. And yet the devil deceived him. No matter what you know or what you hear, boys and girls,
The devil can still deceive you if you do not run and hasten to Christ whenever he would approach you. I think I should tell you that the sin that the devil prompted and promoted in Ananias and Sapphira, the sin of pride, was the very sin that he himself committed and which cost him heaven. The devil wasn't always a sinner. Hope you know that. The devil was once the very highest of the angels in the presence of God. But then pride entered and he wanted to be God and he was cast out of heaven. And he has been ever working at that. That's why he got Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Ghost. He wanted to rule their thoughts. He wanted them to obey him, not God. The devil still wants to do that with each one of you. And right to the very end of this age, he'll still be trying that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks of how the devil will raise up a man one day. He's called a number of things in the Bible, the beast, the Antichrist, and he will seek to persuade people that this man is God to be worshipped. That's the final delusion and rebellion that will end this age. We see the beginnings of it all around us, where people are turning from God and from his word and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're turning their back upon what the Bible teaches us. But it's going to get worse, boys and girls, as the devil continues this rebellion and prompts others to join him. Because he's full of pride, he wants to be God, and he wants to be treated as God. Do you remember how he tempted the Lord Jesus? He said, if you fall down and worship me, that's what he wanted. He wanted God to bow before him and acknowledge him as God. Oh, that's the folly that the devil is engaged in and which he wants all others to engage in. And he said to Ananias and Sapphira, oh, you keep your mouth. Don't heed what God the Holy Ghost is prompting you to do and which he is leading others to do. Don't you listen to him. Listen to me. Keep back part of your money. And they listened. They lied to God. They lied to God. Boys and girls, I repeat, we must ever guard ourselves against the temptations and lies of the devil. Old Peter wrote this, be sober, be vigilant, be alert and watchful. Because your adversary, he's not your friend, he's your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wants to do. He'll tell you, oh, I want to make you happy. If you listen to me and follow me, oh, what joy you will have, what peace you will have. Peter wrote those words, and he wrote those words from bitter experience, because the devil deceived Peter into denying the Lord Jesus 3 times. 3 times! The last time he did it in anger. He did it cursing, using bad language, it would appear, to those who said, you're a disciple. And they denied, I don't know him. They said this in the presence of the Saviour. The Lord Jesus wasn't too far away, because it says the Saviour turned and looked at him. And Peter remembered, the Lord told me this. And he got up and he went out from the company he was in, went out on his own, and it says he wept bitterly. I can see that. There were no street lamps in Jerusalem back then. And when he went out from the high priest's house, he was out into darkness and he found a corner. And I have no doubt he knelt down and brokenheartedly he wept and confessed his sin to God. He had been deceived by the devil. And that's what the devil's deceptions bring. Bitter tears, boys and girls. Hell's a place. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's where listening to the devil will take you. Oh, heed the gospel, boys and girls. Heed the sweet voice of the Saviour who calls you to himself. Are you saved today? Are you saved? Have you asked the Lord to save you? You haven't? That's because the devil has deceived you into ignoring the gospel. Well, may you listen to God's word today. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we pray that Thou wilt cause it to sound loud in the hearts and minds of everyone in our assembly today. Bless the boys and girls, and as there is a time of holiday coming up, take care of them, Lord, while they're away, and may they never forget what it is they have learned from the Scriptures. Answer prayer for us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.